please. Turn to the book of John chapter 3. The book of John chapter 3. We have three series going on right now. An Old Testament book is the book of Genesis. New Testament book is the book of Matthew. And our topical series is that of night scenes of Scripture, things that God did at night. We come to another one of these night scenes in John chapter number 3. For time's sake, we'll read verses 1 through 7. Now, I'm used to preaching through an interpreter now, so if I pause a little bit more often, then you'll understand that. I'll tell you one thing preaching through an interpreter does, it forces you to be simple. And it shows you it's not your style that matters. It's the Word of God. It's the power of the Bible. John chapter 3, verse number 1. There came a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Preached this morning on this subject, being born again. Being born again. Now this particular situation where Nicodemus came to Jesus, maybe you weren't aware of this. It took place at night. This is another night scene of Scripture. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the passage before us, we have the most vital doctrine concerning man explained and emphasized by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the doctrine of salvation. It's also known as the new birth. Now, as I get started here, let me say this to you, because I realize that a majority, if not all, could have already been born again. So my desire today and the goal of this message is twofold. Number one, if you do not know Jesus and you've never been born again, it's obviously for you, because without the new birth, you will miss heaven. But if you are saved, which I realize that may be all of us, then our purpose is to explain this message to the world. I'm talking about to our neighbors, to our co-workers around the world and around Great Tennessee, the Tri-Cities, this state, this country, and around the entire globe. So don't tune me out if you've been born again. This message is for you, because what we get out of this message, we are never to keep it, we're to give it out to others. Now, we have a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus coming to the Lord. He comes to him at night and begins to talk to him. Now, the Lord quickly takes control of this conversation, and he confronts Nicodemus about his real spiritual need, and that was to be born again. Now, I want to give you four things about being born again that the Lord brings out in this passage that has probably the most familiar verse in the entire Word of God in it, John chapter 3, verse 16. There's four things about the new birth, being born again, born of the Spirit from above. All of it's the same thing. Four things about it, number one. First of all, notice its meaning. What does it mean to be born again? Now again, Jesus said in verse 3, notice it, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now we notice in verse 4 that Nicodemus misunderstood what he said. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus is thinking here mistakenly that he's talking about another physical birth. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, I'm going to deal with that, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now in verses 3 through 6 specifically, the Lord Jesus defines the meaning of the new birth. He tells Nicodemus, you must be born again, and then he defines what he means by that. Now let me say this to you. Sometimes one of the most effective ways to define something is to define it with what it doesn't mean. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
In other words, it's just as important to understand it does not mean that as it does mean this. So first of all, under its meaning, I want to teach you, first of all, what it does not mean. Because some of our friends will try to teach you that this word here, water, is baptism. That is incorrecto, going back to Espanol. What I'm saying to you is this. It does not mean a part of salvation when he says one that's born of the water and of the Spirit. Water there has nothing to do with baptism. As a matter of fact, baptism is not even mentioned in this entire chapter. Some try to teach it does. But Scripture, get this, Scripture never contradicts itself. Never. Which means that if baptism was a part of salvation, then every time salvation is mentioned, baptism would be mentioned with it. But it's not. Matter of fact, let me say this. I've just written a book. It's getting ready to be printed. I'm going to take the church through it that explains every one of those passages that the baptism regeneration crowd uses. Every one of them, when you explain it in context, teaches the same thing. Salvation is by grace and grace alone. Baptism has nothing to do with it. I'm not going to do that today because I wrote a book on it. It's going to take me a little while to get through it. Let me just hit some highlights here. When Jesus Christ got baptized, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, here's what he said. He said, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, he told John the Baptist that what you are doing to me is right. This is a righteous work. Yet Titus 3, 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." Romans 11, 6. "And if by grace," talking about salvation, "then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace." Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Our baptismal regeneration folks who teach this, are you listening to me? They have to teach that there's more than one way of salvation. They have to teach that it was one way in the Old Testament, it was another way in part of the New Testament, and it's another way now. Are you listening to me? It's always been one way. It's through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Baptism is never mentioned in the Old Testament. Listen to me now. What I'm saying to you, what about the thief on the cross? Now, I know what they say. I know what they'll tell you. Well, that was the Lord who saved him. And the Lord could do that because it was before his death. So that means they believe in two ways of salvation. One before it, one after it. Are you listening to me? That's not Bible. The Word of God teaches that baptism is important, but it has nothing to do with your salvation. Christ never baptized, John chapter 4, verse 2. Now, if he never baptized, what do you think he's trying to tell us, friends? If you think baptism is part of it, why'd he choose not to baptize? Amen, friends. I'm telling you, baptism has nothing to do with it. Right here when he says, "Except a man be born of water," some people say, he said, "There's baptism, there's baptism." No, it doesn't. It has nothing to do with baptism. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." What about John 3:36? What about John 5:24? What about John 6:47? Here's what 3:36 says. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." John 5:24 says this. It says right here. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." John 6:47 puts it this way. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." You know what that means? That means as soon as you believe on Jesus, you have everlasting life immediately. That word "hath" means has. It's present tense. These folks that teach you have to be baptized to go to heaven, they teach that you believe on Jesus, but then you get it when you get in the baptistry. If that's the case, then believing on Jesus is only halfway there. Are you listening to me? I think God's Son did enough to save my soul. He doesn't need any help from me, friends. He doesn't need any help from you either. I'm telling you what it does not mean. It does not mean that baptism is a part of your salvation. Again, don't worry about that right now. I'm getting ready to put a book in your hands that's going to go much more in detail about that. Number two, this is under the meaning. What it does not mean. It does not mean baptism. Number two, what does it mean? What is the Lord, what's he teaching Nicodemus? Now there are two different teachings as to what he says here, that except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Some people try to teach that the word water here is in reference to the Bible. Now I am not going to oppose somebody like that, because we do know that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We do know that. But these folks who teach this, in other words, they're not contradicting Scripture elsewhere. Everybody with me when I say that? We are born by the word of God is what I'm trying to say. But personally, I believe that what this means is not the word of God, but that the Lord is referring to the physical birth. Because notice the context. Here's a great rule of studying the Bible. If you ever take a statement out of context, you can try to make something true that never was. You want me to tell you the danger of anybody who believes anything in the Bible but it's completely false? They lift statements out of context. They do not give the statement within the given context of where it was given. Now notice these statements and see if this doesn't make sense to you. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now notice Nicodemus' response. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So what did Nicodemus think the Lord was saying? That he had to be born physically again. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now notice verse 6, he's identifying exactly what he means. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See, Nicodemus misunderstood the Lord's statement. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus thought, Lord, am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb and come back out again? And the Lord said, no, except you have a water birth and a spiritual birth, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Here's what he's saying. In order to go to heaven, you have to have two births. You have to be born physically. Amen or not, friends? You have to be born physically. Excuse me. But the physical birth is known as the water birth. Amen. Every lady who's had a baby knows what I'm trying to say. It's known as the water birth. And unless you have a water birth, a physical birth, and on top of that, a spiritual birth, you will never enter the kingdom of God. In other words, he's saying, Nicodemus, your physical birth is not enough. You must have a spiritual birth from above. John 6:63 says, It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now everybody with me, we're talking about being born again when Nicodemus came to the Lord at night. First of all, about this major doctrine of salvation, we notice, number one, its meaning. When he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. He did not mean baptism. He was simply identifying and explaining to Nicodemus, because Nicodemus thought he was talking about the physical birth. He said, no, it takes the physical birth, but then it takes on top of that, you must have a spiritual birth. Everybody with me? If you're not, I'm going to start all over. Everybody with me? You're with me, right? It's meaning. Number two, let's notice it's must. It's meaning, but number two, it's must. Look at verse number 3 and verse 7. Notice what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Look at verse number 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, here it is, ye must be born again. Now notice verse number 3, he says, if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus is teaching us here that we will not have a part of God's kingdom without the second birth. It has a must. Verse number 7, he said, ye must be born again. He's saying this, there are no exceptions. All must come by the way of the new birth. Everybody. In other words, there are some who try to tell you that all roads lead home. There are some who will get on national television. I'm talking some of these big time pastors. These pastors that, in my opinion, not all of them, but some of them, who are sending people to hell. They have large congregations. But then they'll get up and tell you, well, I believe that every religion will eventually make it there. Are you listening to me? That is anti-God. That is anti-scriptural. And we will not build Buffalo Ridge on a teaching like that. We will not do it. I love you too much other than to give you the truth. And the truth is this. Coming to this church will never get you to heaven. Being baptized will never get you to heaven. Doing good works will never get you to heaven. There is one must in this life, and that ye must be born again. It's a must. It's a must. Somebody says, are you teaching me and are you telling me that if somebody doesn't go God's way, they're not going? You got it. Correcto. There it is. Espanol, I think. By the way, it's funny that Angela Davis and me, the groups, I'm talking about the Chileans, were coming to us, speaking to us, bypassing like in one case, Jason Holt, who knows the language, he and Bob Mann were walking in front of me, and I noticed a Chilean who's trying to sell something, didn't even notice them, walked right by them, came to me, all this kind of stuff. I looked at him, I said, no Espanol. But you know what we did down in Chile? We took the message of must. You must be born again. You cannot get to heaven any other way. Number one, it's meaning. Number two, it's must. Number three, it's means. How is it brought about? Look at verses 13 and 14. Verses 13 and 14. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now these verses teach us the way of the new birth. There's only one thing you must have, and that's the new birth. And there's only one way to get it. There's not many. There's one. The Bible says, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Numbers 21:9. This refers back to this serpent being lifted up. It says, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. Put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld or looked at the serpent of brass, he lived. Jesus said in John 12:32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, how was he lifted up? The cross of Calvary. Just as the serpent hung on a pole, Jesus hung on a cross. And he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. The means of the new birth is not a good life. By the way, you must be perfect to go to heaven, and nobody is perfect to go to heaven. Nobody's just like God except God himself. And God came, and his Son was lifted up from the earth on the cross as the only means for the new birth. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Life only comes from death. Did you hear what I said? Life only comes from death. And the new birth, its only means, is the death of the blessed Son of God. This means right here that the only means of the new birth is the cross on which Jesus Christ died, where he shed his precious blood, was buried and rose again. Friends, the payment of sin is not getting baptized. The payment of sin is not turning over a new leaf. The payment of sin is not joining the church. The payment of sin is death, Romans 3:23. And the Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Corinthians 15:3, Christ died for our sins. We're noticing the new birth, this night scene of Scripture. When Nicodemus came to the Lord at night, we notice its meaning. He's saying you must have two births. You must have a physical birth. And on top of that, you must have a spiritual birth. We've noticed it's must that without the spiritual birth, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. We've noticed its means that Christ must be lifted up from the earth. And he was on the cross of Calvary. Aren't you glad he was lifted up for you, friends? Number four, let's notice its message. What's the message of the new birth? Look at verse number 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him. Do you see a common thread here, friends? You don't see baptism, but you see believe on him, believe on him, believe on him. He that believeth on him, verse 18, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. Notice in verse number 15, whosoever believeth. Verse 16, whosoever believeth. Verse 17, through him. Verse number 18, he that believeth on him. The message of the new birth is Jesus, only Jesus. That's it. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I've already read John 5:24 and 6:47, but John 14:6 says this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The message of the new birth is Christ and Christ alone. Believing, trusting in Jesus to forgive your sins. 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Not through him and me, not through him and the church, but through him and him alone. Ye must be born again. Now when you think about the new birth, and he says you must be born again, let me tell you that we've noticed its meaning. It's must, it's means, it's message. But could it be that he also used that analogy of a birth to teach you that you have nothing to do with it? You had nothing to do with your birth physically, and you don't have anything to do with your birth spiritually. It is God and God alone. Could it be that he taught this doctrine about a birth because he's trying to emphasize, trying to write a book on it, pray for it, that the new birth is a one-time experience? How many times are you born physically? It's not a trick question, friends. If you're looking at your neighbor, you got problems. You're born once physically. Guess how many times you're born spiritually? One time. Could it be that he's saying that he's likening it to a birth because he wants you to know that once you're born in the family, he wants you to eat right and grow up and be able to crawl and walk and tell other people about him? Friends, it makes no difference if you're in the United States of America, if you're in the country of Chile, if you're in the country of Iraq, or wherever you're at, there is one message for the world. There is one way for the world. And that is, ye must be born again. I share this story with you, and I'm starting to come to a close. I hope that doesn't mean you are. One of the highlights of my trip, there were many of them, probably spending time one-on-one with those national pastors was such a blessing. That was really an eye-opening experience, that here's a pastor from the United States of America. I'm younger than probably most of the national, probably all the national pastors, I guess I'm younger than them.
But they're sitting there just popping me with questions. What do you do about this? How do you handle this? What can you teach us about this? And I mean, 11 or 12 hours of just that. Over 3 days, glory, you know what I'm saying? But there was a specific day when Brother Jason wanted to take us to what he called the Twin Cities. It's on the coast. In other words, you're looking out at the Pacific Ocean, and there's twin cities there. One of them's name is Valparaiso, and I can't remember the name of the other one. There's twin cities, 1 million people. You go there, and you look up, and you're looking almost up like the side of a mountain, honestly. Later, when we show you the presentation later, we'll have some pictures of this, but when we were there, if you're standing right here where the ocean is right here and you look straight up, it's houses upon houses upon houses upon houses. I mean, one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. I'm telling the truth, right, Abby? I mean, after another, after another, after, I'm telling you, it's everywhere. 1 million people. Not one gospel witness. Never heard the gospel. The city of Santiago has more people than the state of Tennessee. Did you hear what I said? One city. More people in that city than our whole state. And they took us up on a mountain and looked down with a statue of Mary. Can you imagine that? Your pastor with a statue of Mary behind him. Statue of Mary up here on the mountain overlooking the city. Not Jesus, Mary. Overlooking the city, and right down there, right over here, there's a whole section of city right here. Who knows how many, I don't know how many people, that area. Not one gospel witness. God began to work on my heart for the cities of Valparaiso, the twin cities. You know what we can do? And I'm not talking about maybe this church doing all this. I'm going to give you more details on this later. But did you realize that for about $45,000, we could put the gospel in every one of those homes and start a church there? I began to talk to Jason about this because God really began to deal in my heart about two twin cities. I mean, just every direction you look, just home stacked upon home, stacked upon home, stacked upon home. And as far as Jason knows, not one gospel witness. I've told the Lord, Lord, if you'll show us what to do at Buffalo Ridge, we'll do it. God began to deal in my heart at Starbucks. I don't even drink coffee, but that's where he dealt in my heart. The group went there. I was right there. Jason sat down beside me. This happened on Friday, just Friday. He sat right there, and I began to talk to him about Valparaiso. God began to burden my heart. What can we do to get the gospel to that home and that home and that home? As I began to talk to him about our church taking the lead in this, our church maybe raising, taking the financial burden. I'm not talking about our church doing all of it, but I'm talking about getting on the phone and us carrying the burden and taking it off something. And he got on the phone, but as I was talking to him, that dear man of God, our missionary, first time all week I saw him begin to tear up. And he said, Jody, if God would put this together, he said, I've had those cities on my heart ever since I came here. And he said, if God would orchestrate this, I'll go there myself and we'll try to get something started. You listening to me? What do you think God wants us to do? I know there's cities like that all over the world, but your pastor's been on the ground in this city. And I'm telling you, God's burdening my heart for 1 million people who've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what I say? Let's make sure they hear it. Amen. And I hope when I share our plan on this later, that you will get on board and see the importance of getting the gospel and the message of the new birth in a different part of the world. But as we think about that, what about you? Is it possible that somebody could be here in the United States of America at the service at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, listening to this old country preacher here, and in your heart, you don't know if you've ever been born again? If you haven't, I lovingly say this to you. Ye must be born again, or you cannot even see the kingdom of God. But if you are saved, will you get under the burden to tell other people that they also must be born again? This is the message of John chapter 3. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done. Deal in our hearts thoroughly. Do your will this day. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. This message has several thoughts with it. But really, there's two main thoughts, and that is, number one, for you personally. Do you know without a doubt that you've been born again? Notice I'm not saying anything about this church. I'd love to have everybody in the Tri-Cities come to this church, but that's not the purpose. This message teaches us that it's not about this church. It's not about our good works. It's not about any of that. It's about the new birth. Friends, if you come to every service at Buffalo Ridge and you miss the new birth, you miss heaven. Don't miss heaven. Have you know for sure that you've been born again? You're not hoping so. You're not thinking so. You're not putting your faith in your baptism. You're not putting your faith in good works. You're not putting your faith in a church or turning over a new leaf. But you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Christ alone. You have believed on Jesus. And He's changed your life. Have you know without a doubt that you have been born again? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You know that. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for being honest. By the way, if you could raise your hand to that, your heart ought to be skipping a beat right now. Glory. Somebody got the gospel to you. Is it possible that somebody in this crowd could not raise your hand? Let me say this, if that's you and you could not raise your hand, there was a day when we who did raise our hand, there was a day when we couldn't either. Don't listen to the devil about, oh, what do you think? Oh, look at this crowd. Oh, this is embarrassing. Listen. Hear the words of Jesus and Jesus only. You must be born again. If you're here today and do not know Him as your Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I don't know if I've ever been born again. But I know this. I believe God may be speaking to my heart. And you say, pray for me. This is what I need to do, and I understand that. Be honest. Put your hand in the air with mine. Would you do that? Anybody like that? Anybody like that around this auditorium? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Let me ask you this question. Purpose number two of this message is that there is a vast majority of people around the world who do not know Jesus. Some of them may be in your neighborhood. Some of them may be in your school. Some of them may be in your workplace. Some of them may be in this city, in this state, in this country. And we know they're scattered around the world. Maybe say, Jody, God is speaking to me. I'm saved. God is burdening me right now about taking this message to others. Whether it be your neighbors or around the world, whatever the case may be, and you say, Jody, pray for me. God is speaking to me about the importance of this message being so important that I need to be shaken and give this message to others. Let me be honest about that. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Be honest about it. Well, that's a lot of hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you're still seated, I'd like you to look this way just a moment. We're getting ready to stand and pray, but I want to give you a thought that Jason gave to us.
We don't think like this, but it's good for us. Did you realize that 95% of the world's population is outside of the United States of America? 95% of the world's population is outside the borders of the United States of America. And can I say this to you? I'm trying to be careful. But there is no way that God is in a church on every corner in Tennessee when there's places like Valparaiso that's never heard the gospel one time. Could it be that God would burden some people from Buffalo Ridge? Jason's trying to get me and my wife to come. See, my wife speaks fluent Spanish. He said, "You're already halfway there, brother. Come on down. Help us out down here, you know." I'd like to say this. I don't feel the Lord leading in that, but if He does, that's up to Him. How about you? We're awful comfortable here, aren't we? There's a world dying without Jesus. What are you going to do about it? You getting it? May the Lord have burdened you to come and pray. Ask God to help you. You know where it starts? Not in Valparaiso. It starts in this service. And ask God to show you what He wants you to do. It might just be that He wants you to give more to Faith Promise so we can give more to the field. You see what I'm saying? It could be that He wants you to start, you know, help us on a bus route around here. I'm not saying, folks, if you come, God's going to, oh, He's going to send me to Africa. Are you listening to me? If He does, that's the safest place for you. If He does, that's where the peace of God is. And you'll be miserable anywhere else. What are we afraid of? Why are we afraid to give it all to Jesus and reach this lost and dying world? Let's all bow our heads. Let's stand together. Father, take it and use it in a great way. Help people to respond. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If you're here and you've never been born again, why don't you come? If you're here and you're burdened about giving this message out, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe at your workplace, maybe in your family, you come. If you're burdened for the world, why don't you come? I'd like to invite some leaders to come to the altar and say, God, help this church to have your heartbeat. Help us to have the heartbeat of God. As Brother Gary sings, you come. Come now, would you do it? Here he's singing, come on.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me,
softly. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. That's a great song to choose. Do you mean it? Do you really mean it? Where He leads me, I will follow. May God burden the heart of this church. God, help this church. Take the lead, if so be, to evangelize the world. As we sing this verse, if you mean it, sing it. If you don't mean it, don't sing it. I'm not there listening whether you're singing or not. This is between you and God. But if you don't mean this, why don't you pray that God will help you to be willing to say it sometime?
Let's sing that same verse again, Brother Gary, and listen to him sing the verse, and then when we get to the chorus, if you really mean it, sing it to the Lord.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow.
Sing it if you mean it. Just from your heart, you can sing it silently.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him.
Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. They're playing through. I'm going to pray. If you're in this service and you're a deacon, I'd like you to come to the altar after this service. I just want to meet with you just a moment. Father, help us, I pray. Thank you for giving us the understanding that the message of the new birth is not just a suggestion. It's an absolute necessity. Help us to do our part to get it around the world. Help us to do our part to get it around our city, saturating this place with the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, folks. If you're a visitor, please take your card out to the visitor center. Be back tonight. Special testimony service for those that went to Chile. If you're a deacon, if you'll quickly just come up here, please.